Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there and goes to a deserted place by himself. This is a very curious way to begin a story. It's like walking into a theater, ready with your 3D glasses and your bucket of popcorn, realizing that they started the movie without you. What did I miss, you ask yourself? What was it Jesus heard that caused him to withdraw in a boat? Well, the disciples of John the Baptist had just buried the body of their master. He had been beheaded in Herod's prison. That's what Jesus heard. It was Herod's birthday, and the ruler had invited foreign dignitaries, government officials, members of the Chamber of Commerce, and a select group of lobbyists to a banquet at his palace. There was plenty of food and drink. The guests sang, "Happy birthday, dear Herod," and they took turns giving toasts, praising the wisdom and statesmanship of their host. Plenty of flattering to go around. Food and drink, song, and the only thing missing, Herod thought, was a little dance, so he asked the daughter of Herodias to dance before his company. Herodias was his wife, but she used to be his brother's wife. And John, the man who had been preaching and baptizing outside the city, John had been telling him, "It is against the law for you to marry her." Herod had been like that, didn't appreciate it, really wanted the men silent, but he feared the people. Recent polls indicated that a significant number of his subjects thought of John as a prophet, and so his word had a great deal of authority among them. Execution was not really an option. Instead, Herod had John arrested and put in prison. Back to the birthday party. The young woman danced for Herod and his guests, and she pleased him so very much that he promised on oath to grant her whatever she might ask. He may have had a few drinks too many. Perhaps he just wanted to impress his guests with his royal magnificence. And what, after all, could the girl possibly ask for? A new dress, maybe? Jewelry? Perhaps a trip to Rome? But prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me the head of John the Baptist here on a plate." She said it out loud in front of everybody. It was too late to take back the foolish promise. He couldn't afford to go back on his word and lose face in front of his guests, half of whom were just waiting for him to show signs of weakness. And so he sent and had the prophet beheaded. Dessert hadn't been served yet when the head of John the Baptist was brought in on a tray and given to the dancer. Nobody said much, who knows. The occasional beheading may have been part of the routine at court. John's disciples came and took the body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. You can imagine he wanted to be alone, to mourn the death of his friend, perhaps across the lake to get away from Herod, at least for a while, to pray and reconsider his own ministry. Like John, Jesus proclaimed a kingdom that wasn't Herod's, and he had just heard what can happen to those who serve and obey God rather than the ruler of this world. So he got in a boat and sailed away, all by himself. And as he made his way across the lake, the crowd followed him on foot from the towns. They were the people who lived under Herod's rule. They were the people he taxed and polled and feared. always ready to do what needed to be done in order to please Rome, in order to maintain order, and most important of all, his own power. Jesus saw them, and they didn't stay in the boat out on the water in solitude and silence. No, he came ashore to stay with them. He didn't go away because he had compassion for them. He didn't go away because his love for God's reign was greater than his concern for his own safety and well-being. At Herod's party, very strange party, worldly power was unmasked. The deadly game of competition and control, flattery and fear. Sure, there was a lot of eating, drinking, singing, and dancing, and it made it all look like a joyous feast. But the bloody truth of that banquet was and remains the prophet's head on a tray. There's a better banquet. There's a better banquet where Jesus is host, and the contrast is stark. In Herod's palace, death rules. In the company of Jesus, life is healed and shared. Now I believe we all want to live life in fullness. In some way or fashion, every single one of us has this deep desire for a fullness for which we barely have a word, a name. But everybody, it seems, also wants to be invited to Herod's party in the big house. The game of power promises everything to the ambitious individual, but it destroys communities and silences the voices of prophets. The gospel is about a better banquet for us and our hunger for life in fullness. The gospel is God's invitation to us to leave Herod's party and go where Jesus is headed and find fulfillment there. There is no bread for our hunger in Herod's palace. But there is bread in abundance on the other side where Jesus prepares a picnic in the wilderness. Herod, like his father, Herod the Great, famous for killing the infant boys in and around Bethlehem at the time of Jesus' birth, Herod Jr. looks a lot like Pharaoh. You remember Pharaoh. Like Pharaoh's resistance to God's liberation of the Hebrew slaves, the murder of John was not an unfortunate, isolated incident of poor judgment on the part of a weak or evil individual. No, it's much bigger than that. This murder revealed with brutal clarity the powers that will do anything, anything, to keep God from disrupting their plans. Pharaoh, Herod, Hitler, Stalin, Pol Pot, Bashir, the list goes on through the ages. The players change, but the game remains the same. Power at any cost. But there is a better banquet with good news for the poor, freedom for the oppressed, compassion for the suffering, bread for the hungry, and yes, life in abundance for all. I don't want to be part of Herod's party. And I don't want a piece of his cake. I want to be where there's bread enough for all and 12 baskets full of leftovers. I want to be where the singing continues through the night until the morning dawns. For Herod's party, you need an invitation. You have to know the right people who can make some phone calls to get you an invitation. And once you're in, if you want Herod to remember your name, tell him how to spin the murder of John into a triumph of justice for tomorrow's headlines. You pull that off, you'll always have a seat at Herod's table. Jesus' banquet is so very different. It's not a party for the select few, but rather a gathering for all who yearn for fullness of life. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich foods. Incline your ear, and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. I hear the voice of Christ in these lines from Isaiah. I hear Christ's invitation to all who hunger and thirst for life to come to him. He calls the poor to buy without money. And those who have money ask, why do you spend it for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Why indeed? Why do we spend so much money for things that promise to fill us, but always, always leave us empty? Why do we labor for things that only leave us wanting more? Why do we work and shop and buy and put our stuff in storage, and still we don't know how it feels to be filled? Why do we listen to voices that tell us day and night that we must work and consume our way to fullness? Meanwhile, Jesus is at the lake shore, God's compassion in the flesh, calling the poor and the rich to come and healing them. It's getting late, and some of the disciples are beginning to worry about this enormous group of people and their hunger. Send them away, they say, so they may go and buy food for themselves. There are markets in the villages, convenience stores, restaurants, something for every taste. Send them away, they say, so that they may buy food for themselves. Send them back to Herod's world. But Jesus says, no. You give them something to eat, he says. And we look at what we have to offer, and it always looks like nothing to us. 5 loaves, 2 fishes looks like nothing to us. What is a handful in a world of need? Not enough, never enough. And Jesus says, bring it here to me. We say, we have nothing here but 5 of this or 2 of that, but Jesus says, bring it to me. The point apparently is not how little or how much we have, but what we do with what we have to offer. Again, the contrast is stark. In Herod's palace, gifts are part of the game. Gifts create relationships of dependence and obligation. In Herod's palace, every gift, veiled or not, is a bribe, a quid pro quo, perhaps hush money, perhaps a little extra padding for the big deal. One hand washes the other. At the other end of it, the gifts are very different. We place what we have in Jesus' hands, and then we watch and wonder how the miracle of life in fullness unfolds among us and around us. You convinced that they had the biggest cake in town for Herod's birthday. But it was still a party of death. At the end of the day, there was a party outside the palace, a banquet where life ruled, and all ate, and all were filled. We live in a world where Herod rules, but in this very world we hear the call of a different ruler. We live in a world where voices from every side tell us that we must look out for ourselves, but in this very world we hear the call of a different ruler. Incline your ear, he says, listen so that you may live. Eat what is good. Maybe so.